For more now on the military government in Myanmar, we turn to Bridget Welsh. She's an assistant professor of Southeast Asian Studies at Johns Hopkins University School for Advanced International Studies, or SAIS. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Now, why is the government in Myanmar so unwilling to accept aid workers?
There are a number of key reasons. First of all, traditionally they're very paranoid of outsiders, especially those from the West. They see the West as a threat to them. Countries like the United States and the European countries have basically said this government is not legitimate, it shouldn't be in power. And so letting in Westerners is very much a challenge to them. As it is now, before the crisis, they only let in a small handful of tourists. So it's always been a relatively isolationist regime.
Is there something that they're afraid of? Like, what's at stake for the government?
Their whole identity is at stake. Their hold on power is at stake. The timing of this crisis could not be worse. On Saturday, on May 10th, they're having a political referendum. This is a referendum that provides a constitution which legitimates their rule, or so they say. And in that process, they've already postponed the referendum in the areas that were devastated by the cyclone. And even though the referendum process is seriously flawed, and most people expect this to be a rigged process, the fact is it is a critical juncture. And so if they don't look like they're doing their job properly, which is clearly the case so far, then their legitimacy is really fundamentally challenged.
Now, about that referendum, it's just so curious that they would proceed outside of the area that was most affected by the cyclone. Why would it be so important to stick to the schedule?
They're a military government. Military governments do things on schedules. And in some ways, the areas that have not been affected by the cyclone have not been affected by the cyclone. Now, obviously, the issues at hand, they should be mastering all forces to deal with a serious devastation, and they're not.
Could you tell us just a little bit about the military government and if there are any among the generals that might be more willing to work with outsiders, particularly Westerners?
The current military is led by General Tan Shui. He is by far one of the most anti-Western generals. He is the man who's made pivotal decisions in terms of attacking the Hmong protesters in September and moving the capital to a very distant, remote place. There are perceptions that within the ranks of the military, particularly within the middle of the military, colonels, and even some generals, there's more acceptance of international assistance. There's more acceptance of a reform process in the economy. Yet at the same juncture, because the military is hierarchical, it's very difficult for those individuals to articulate their positions. And what you have seen in the last few days is inconsistency. That's an indication that there are differences of opinion within the system about how to react and how not to react.
We've been hearing reports that there's a certain amount of frustration with the government from the people in Yangon. Is this a situation where in this area, in Yangon and in the Irrawaddy, this is analogous to a pot that could simmer to a boiling point?
Burma's been under military rule since 1962. The frustrations are deep. Mm-hmm. People live in poverty in this country even before this crisis. This could serve as a catalyst. One of the key things that's going to happen now is you're going to have more Burmese working together, and that will be a product of some sort of social organization, because political networks and social networks have been devastated during this crisis. So you're going to see people's power at play, but it's hard to say how it will play out. But that recognition, the stakes at play, are part and parcel of why the military is wanting to control the situation or trying to control the situation.
Bridget Welsh is an assistant professor of Southeast Asian Studies at Johns Hopkins University School for Advanced International Studies, also known as SAIS. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks a lot.